parts.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, he'd want to be playing for the team he gets traded to for multiple seasons, not a rental.
Like his last port of call and big contract in the NFL.
And that's why the Jets thing, I think there's some trepidation now. Schefter backed that up.
Don't want to go into it uncertain after the rest of this season, not knowing who my quarterback will be.
New Orleans just has a lot to move around in order to make it work because they're always strapped for cash against the cap.
Correct.
Here's an idea, just completely spitballing here. What would your reaction be if the Raiders called and said, screw the pick, we'll take Pickens for him? It doesn't solve your lack of wide receiver depth problem at all. But
you're asking me this on the wrong day, because right now, just watching Pickens like go half speed through some of these routes, I'm tempted to just say, sure, it's a stupid trade in football terms in one sense. You are trading the decade younger player that you just have not been able to harness yet,
yeah,
for a guy who is more expensive, less explosive, definitely a better receiver when he's healthy because he's just so polished. And you are still not solving maybe your biggest wide receiver issue, which is that you don't have a wide receiver two. You have one guy who gets covered tightly a lot and then gets completely checked out of these games. What do you do?
I would trust Adams to do his job better than
so would
Pickens.
I. But that's a low bar right this second to say, because Pickens looked like a guy who wanted to be doing anything but his
right
job last night and this morning. Somebody suggested, I think the 33rd team put out a thing that said second round pick and Pickens for Adams, and I laughed and said that's very
well,
stupid.
Because
the pick makes it dumb.
Right.
But even like straight up Pickens for Adams should be a dumb trade, but I'm so frustrated by Pickens right at this moment that I'm considering like a rash decision.
Okay,
here.
But they traded Deontay Johnson because they knew they weren't going to give him another contract for a player. If what they're seeing from George Pickens makes them extremely reticent to give him a second contract,
and if he's only going to be here for this year and next in a best case scenario, and he would probably run into problems next year because he'd want a new deal, then what's the downside? I mean, you know, the only thing that would tick me off there, and it probably wouldn't happen with the Raiders because they don't have a quarterback, is it will bother me if they end up dealing George Pickens at some point to a good quarterback and a good offense, and he just explodes.
You just said, though, why the Raiders wouldn't do that, because I can't, if he's unhappy here,
he'll be
fuming
there.
The only thing that he might view as an upgrade is he's a guy in his mid-20s who gets to live in Las Vegas as opposed to Pittsburgh. But other than that, why else would you want to
play? I would think he would see it as a downgrade in this way. I'm not saying Antonio Pierce is even a good head coach. We have no idea what he actually is. The guy actually, if George at least likes the fact that Mike Tomlin will not air him out publicly, Antonio Pierce was saying his team was making business decisions 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He strikes me as the kind of coach that would get right in your face.
Oh, my God. Yes, I think that would be... Imagine the social media passive aggressiveness that could go on between those two guys.
George Pickens takes all the Raiders mentions out of his profile, and Antonio Pierce likes the post.
I only bring that up because I think GMs have hypothetical conversations with their staff all the time. And I just wonder if Omar Khan said to his underlings, hey, if Vegas were to call and say, we'll trade you Adams straight up for Pickens, what would our reaction to that be?
Mm-hmm.
And mine would be to probably do it. I don't think that will happen. I do think when you have the owner come out and say, now he's not Bob Nutting, he's Art Rooney, that there's urgency for this season.
Mm-hmm.
Not that
we've got
Art,
to start winning playoff games.
Yes, not that Art is really one to do things
in a rash way
drastically either.
Yep.
This dilemma with their wide receivers, it's untenable. They're not going to get, they're instantly or out of nowhere, even with a quarterback change, Van Jefferson is not going to turn into a different kind of wide receiver. I don't think Calvin Austin is either.
The only way you'd have this fix itself without an outside player coming in here is organically Roman Wilson, who can't even get a helmet, who has the most pedigree of anybody else on the roster just based on where he was drafted and how young he is. He'd have to come in and be very good right away, such that other teams were like, you know what? We're going to single up on George Pickens and hope he doesn't beat us.
Honestly, that's one of the most frustrating parts of this whole thing to me, is we're watching the Steelers struggle to get the ball to playmakers because they're not good enough. They can't get open. I do think it's affecting Pickens because of the amount of attention he's getting.
And then he checks out early in games.
And Roman Wilson is not someone who I think is going to be like a total difference maker. But there's a curiosity factor there, and there's the potential that there just isn't with the other guys.
What was the name of the
and
guy that played yesterday?
Doghouse.
Brandon Johnson. Ah, yes.
What you call him, Donnie? Lee Mays 2.0.
Lee Mays. He was 89, right?
Yes, he was. So was Ernie Mills.
So I am saying, personally, like I have much more interest in doing the Adams deal now than I did last week when we first
talked about this. I
mean,
it does feel like selling Pickens at the absolute low, you know, the nadir of
this
time.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not even just saying from the swap standpoint. I'm just saying, talking about and considering trading Adams in general, I'm much more open to
now. Or trying to acquire him, you mean?
Yes.
Because, yeah, we were all saying, no, we wouldn't do it last week.
Yes. ESPN said eventually they think that he'll just get traded for a third round pick. I mean, Chris, you've really got to consider that, man. You really do.
No, that's a much lower price. And then if you're just, you have to guess, does he age well? Is he a guy who can play till he's 34 or 35 and actually be pretty good?
I don't think you need that many years out of him, though, to make it worth a
third
round pick.
Well, he's 32 right now. So what do you need this year and next? I don't want to rent him for a third round pick. Is he taking
no,
my team to the Super
Bowl? No, because I don't think he's going to be the X factor like that.
Right now, these are hard questions for me to answer because I have not been more down on this team than I am basically this morning, this minute, this day,
since
all
when?
Year.
Well, yes, all
since
year
the
for
start
sure.
of the year.
Yeah,
like even these conversations compared to the way we talked about it last week just feel completely different because I'm so in like the mental doghouse thinking about what this.
Well,
team
that's
is
because
or
you had the silver
of.
Lining of Fields having a big fourth quarter. We don't have anything like that off of this game.
I mean, we do. I could say that we have Fields leading them to a touchdown drive to go ahead with five
sure,
minutes left in the game, but it still feels hollow.
Sure, but he did not objectively play a good game, like you could say
no,
overall.
He played,
the numbers
he had
backed
two,
it up last week. He accounted for three touchdowns.
He had
last
two
week.
Good drives. He had two good drives. That's it.
412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Davante Adams, who could get traded in the next few hours, and also what's going on with George Pickens. Would you play Russell Wilson over Justin Fields? How you feel about Mike Tomlin and just the game overall last night? Here's Tyler on the Fan. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
So I'm going to make the pitch here. I think we need to start Russ. The two main points I see is, I don't know if I have the exact numbers, but I saw Fields like 0-20 in his career when the defense left more than 20 points. I don't see how that's going to be sustainable for us going forward, especially if Minka's not playing as well as he usually does. And second, I think we're all pretty down with the Steelers right now, and I'm far from like a Russ fan. I don't know if I even love the signing, but at least he's probably going to change some things up. He threw 26 touchdowns last year. He can maybe get Pickens involved. Pickens is probably pretty like disengaged right now, knowing he's not even going to get the ball. So maybe it's taking some deep, you know, balls there. I could see him, you know, playing well with Connor Hayward. And, I mean, it could really fall off quick. I could see him being really bad. But I don't know. The upside could maybe be there. And I know with Fields, it's not there. So
you know with Fields because of he couldn't come back and win shootouts in Chicago that he can't be a franchise quarterback?
I don't see this offense competing with any serious team in the AFC this year with Justin Fields a quarterback.
Do you see them competing with a serious team in the AFC? Hell, forget about the AFC. How about their own division? Can they compete with Cincinnati or Baltimore with Russell Wilson as their quarterback?
I'm not the biggest Russ advocate, but I will say the best this team's looked in years has been Mason Rudolph last year against the Bengals. I think Russ throws a good deep ball. That's our best chance of getting Pickens involved. And then hopefully Van Jefferson does something or Roman Wilson comes back or maybe he'll play well with Freiermuth. But at least he can throw the ball.
Okay. I mean, the point about how Wilson is the superior deep ball thrower and they need some instant offense and he might be able to provide it for you, I don't really disagree with that. But I have reservations even with Russell Wilson's resume if Mike Tomlin is going to allow for his quarterback to do that. And I don't just mean like the haphazard, like, okay, it's like one of the first plays of the game. Let's just take a deep shot to see what happens.
No, like a consistent effort to push the ball down the field. When you have 3rd and 8 on your first drive and you've moved it a little, instead of – I would have a bit of a different opinion about this game if literally on that 3rd and 8 play, Pony, they had just thrown incomplete, and Boswell had to kick a 46-yarder because they had tried to throw beyond the sticks and keep the drive going, than a give-up play. That was just, I want 3 points. I want to guarantee 3 points with my kicker. I don't even want my offensive coordinator to dial something up that puts the ball at even moderate risk.
Yeah, because I'm scared that we're going to get sacked or we're going to have a penalty or something like that.
Or if Fields throws one over the middle, it's a tipped ball. What do they call that? Living in your...
Which makes no sense, because that happened on the first possession. He talked about taking the momentum from the way the last game ended offensively and pushing it into this game. And that's the milquetoast, wimpy offensive decision that you make there. Like,
this is a give up call.
I understand maybe if it's in the fourth quarter and three ties it and you don't want to.
You want to make sure you live to fight another
possession. You extend
the
game, exactly.
But it wasn't. It was a chance for you to, if you get that first down, or hell, it's not illegal on a 3rd and 8 that close to the other team's goal line that you run a play that actually gets a touchdown.
And the Cowboys don't have their guys. How about if
they don't have Diggs, they don't have the ball hawk, they don't have the pass rushers.
I mean, you can absolutely, I think I'll make the argument. I think if they come out and score a touchdown on that opening drive there, they win the game. Because I just think
they'd have had 4 more points than
they
did.
But not only that, but I just think mentally everybody else. Like, I think the Cowboys' defense starts to question itself without their stars.
Man, here, this team scored 4 straight touchdowns, basically.
I think the Steelers, yeah, offensive confidence. They're like, we're rolling.
Fields gets that same vibe he got when Kyle Allen randomly came in and like lit a fire.
But
he gets it early.
Let's get the ball to Shumpkin here. Let's get the ball to the Harvard
kid. How many different names do you think you can call him by?
What are the identity options in football? I've never heard of a team having an identity. I think we have an identity. I just don't know, you know, what it is. Like, I never heard necessarily an option for, you know, an identity. I think we ran the ball well today, you know, shot ourselves in the foot again. I don't think, you know, we're one of those teams looking for our identity. I think we know who we are. You know, we're a team that predicates on, you know, running the football and staying on schedule on first and second down and then executing on third down. But we just didn't, you know, get the job done.
Justin Fields, we have an identity. I just don't know what it is.
Except then he answered the question and said, we are a running football team that tries to win possession downs.
We ran the ball well. No, you did not, Justin.
No, you ran it poorly. Narrator, they ran the ball poorly.
Let's go back to your calls, starting with Bill. He's on the fan. Hello, Bill. Bill?
Bill?
Have a good day, Bill. Here's Rich next. Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Hello, Rich.
Hey, I think he's probably going to start Russell Wilson just for the fact that he named Wilson the starter way back before the season even started. But I have a question for you guys. In the offseason, they mentioned there's an urgency to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and win
playoff games specifically.
Not just make it, win them.
Yeah, exactly. And they made a lot of moves. They gave Tomlin what he wanted. If he doesn't make the playoffs or win a playoff game this year, even though they gave him the contract, do you think he's going to be on the hot seat?
No, not even close.
The owner has talked ad nauseum, really, about how fortunate he feels to have Mike as his head coach. In fact, I would say that it is overwhelmingly more likely, Rich, that whenever Mike Tomlin's time here is done, it is by Mike Tomlin's wishes that it is finished.
They'll find a scapegoat. It'll be the offensive line coach or maybe Terrell Austin. They'll try to do something
They would say we suffered through a lot of injuries, as if nobody else in football has injuries. If Tomlin had won a game like Mike McCarthy won last night, do you know how much the national media crowd would be kissing his butt?
Oh, my God.
They go into somebody else's building and beat a team without T.J. Watt or Alex. It'd be the equivalent of them beating a team on the road without Alex Highsmith, without T.J. Watt, without Joey Porter Jr. Who else am I missing here? With Justin Fields in this equation throwing 2 picks. And they'd say, Mike found a way to keep these guys in the game. And he won it at the end.
Justin Fields did what Mike Tomlin asks out of his quarterbacks. He didn't turn the ball over, and he orchestrated a touchdown drive late that could have won his team the game if his defense was able to get a stop. So based on the standard that Tomlin holds his quarterbacks to, he shouldn't take Justin Fields out for Russell Wilson. Here's Todd on the fan. Hello, Todd.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Actually, that's a lie. We're not good. We stayed up late last night and watched our team lose.
Well, I understand what you're saying with that. So is I. But I'll say this to you, though, is that I thought at the beginning of the year the Steelers should have gone with Russell Wilson and I still believe that. I think that it's very difficult in the NFL to win with a quarterback that can't call audibles at the line of scrimmage. I think Justin Fields misses way too many open receivers.
Who's open? Who are these open receivers you're talking about? You think Van Jefferson's getting open?
No, I think Najee Harris was open on a wheel route.
Okay.
And I think that I remember seeing over the middle there was someone.
Freiermuth was open on a couple shorties, I noticed, Todd. If we're going to play this game, I think he missed a couple third down conversion throws because he didn't see guys.
I don't think he had a good game last night, Todd. You're going to bench him for one bad game?
No, he didn't.
Well, I think you're going to get your wish, Todd.
I'm not going to bench him necessarily for one bad game, but what I am benching him for is there's something about his aptitude, whether we're talking about here in Chicago or here. If you can't call an audible in the NFL, you cannot win.
And you think that's his call?
Do I think it's whose call?
Do you think that you think Justin Fields goes to them and says, "I'm incapable of calling audibles," or do you think they just want the control from the sideline?
No, I think that what it is something about his aptitude is showing them that he's not able to call audibles or control the game in that way. I think, I'll get off the lines, guys, but I really think that this team was only scheduled to be an eight and a half wins this year.
Yes,
they're playing basically to what they are. They have three wins already. We got excited about who we thought they were, but this is who they are.
Well, that's kind of the problem because it's been who they've been for
that's not supposed to hearten me or make me feel better about the situation.
That doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel good with that being his parting shot.
Daryl is next. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, guys. I've been listening. I just laughed because we talked about this last week. I mentioned it to you guys, and I mentioned what Chris said. You can always tell early in the game how it's going to go. And that third and eight run, I just said, "Oh, here we go again." It was just this wash, rinse, and repeat.
It was so cowardly.
I keep saying it. You took the words out of my mouth, Pony. I was going to say, that's just a coward's approach to playing football. And here's the thing. We change this person. Nothing's going to change, people. You might as well just sit in your seat, get comfortable. I made the bad decision. Somebody called me late from Dallas and said, "You want to put a bottle of alcohol on the game?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" Of course, they call me up and say, "I want a liter instead of a 750. But that's cool. But anyway, like we said, let's stop changing the frame and start changing the picture. And the picture is not going to change. So just get used to it. All these modifications and changes you guys want, bringing in these players, it's not going to change.
Darryl,
this is who the Steelers are.
I don't disagree with that. Under Mike Tomlin, that's what they are.
What a defeatist attitude that is,
but
though.
But that's the
Devontae Adams, Russell Wilson, what difference does it make? It's always going to be about 9-8.
But I agree with that. I mean, this is what they are, and the coach has shown no intention. Honest to God, man, when his back was truly against the wall and the team looked like crap at 7-7 last year, if finally saying I'm going to A, start Mason Rudolph, and B, in the process of starting him, basically tell him go out there and try to win the game, if what they got out of that in three straight games, especially the first two, did not change his tone or tune about how he needs to go about coaching and winning, nothing was going to. He took a third-string quarterback and just took the governor off and said, "Try to win me this football game."
Worked. That's honestly the best argument I think you can make for Russell Wilson, is that maybe Tomlin is so deferential because of the guy's football life that he actually lets him call more shots and
gives him more latitude
in this offense. That's the best case I can make for it, Chris.
You're probably right that's the closest to a realistic case. Knowing what we know then, it just continues to amaze me that guys want to come and play for him if they are offensive players. Fields, oh yeah, big Mike Tomlin fan. Ayuk, why? Why would you want to come here?
Allegedly, although not number one.
Why would you want to come here? Why would you want to play for this guy if you're an offensive player, especially a quarterback?
All right, it's 5:30, the Monday after a Steelers game. That means it's time for PM Team Professors giving out grades on the Steelers' performance against the Cowboys. Start with the Steelers' offense. I'll begin. I'm going to give it a C. I would say if the game ended at halftime, I would have given it an F. Second half, you had that opening drive for a touchdown. You had a touchdown drive, last possession that could have won the game. So guess what? They get graded on a curve for me because I am taking into account the fact that the head coach is doing his best to limit offensive production and wants to play a certain style. So based on what he's trying to get out of the offense, I think the offense played an average game. I think if you had told him beforehand that the Steelers' offense was going to score 17 points, Mike Tomlin would have felt confident that the Steelers were going to win the game.
If you had told him before the game, you will score 17 points, you will win the turnover battle plus three, you won't turn the ball over, essentially. I know they turned it over the last play of the game. They will have three turnovers. He would probably have gone and you know, if he was allowed to legally, Pony, he would have bet several hundred thousand dollars on a Steelers money line win. That wasn't how it went. I gave the offense a D. I weighed it more heavily. I don't care that I know the coach doesn't want offense and seems to just be content to try to win rock fights, and I hate it. But you know what? I do have to put some agency on the players here, some accountability. You can still execute a little better. Fields missed open players.
Yep.
Connor Hayward dropped multiple passes. One got punched out. One the ground punched out. I saw Van Jefferson drop one. I saw George Pickens drop one when they really could have put the screws to the Cowboys. I give them a D. You made progress more or less in four straight games. I'm not going to be charitable when you go backwards.
Don?
Yeah, I'm going to give them a C-. 226 total yards of offense. That's like one of the lowest totals that we've seen. I think it was our pal Josh Rountree.
Never had that few yards when Kenny Pickett was a starting quarterback.
Correct.
Oh,
and then
wow,
he said,
"Talk about a damn."
And then he said, "I'm just reporting the facts. Don't yell at me."
I bet that did a big pop.
Josh, it's Twitter, buddy. What do you expect when you tweet that out?
I mean, you could say good morning to people, and they're going to yell at you.
Probably.
I mean, they scored a couple of touchdowns. It took the third quarterback, Kyle Allen, throwing a pretty nice pass to Pat Freiermuth over the middle to actually kind of jolt the offense a little bit. In this game, the first half was ugly, and the Dallas defense stinks. That's something else that really needs to be taken into consideration here. Not only do they stink, they stunk, and they didn't have three of maybe their best players on the field. Absolutely their best two with Parsons and Lawrence. The Steelers should have been able to run the football all over this team. Maybe not necessarily pass for 300-plus yards or anything like that. They should have been able to bully the Dallas Cowboys last night. They put together one of their worst performances when it came to what the offense got up and down the field.
Malzi, Steelers defense.
F.
Just F.
F. I don't care. I do grade them on a curve. They gave up 20 points. Yes, they turned over Prescott a couple times. The tackling was, again, I thought, hideous. I thought that Dowdle was one of the reasons he was putting up numbers was because they just weren't bringing him down when they had chances. I lost count of how many times they weren't lined up correctly, where there were blown coverages. I thought it was really a poor job all around, even when you had turnovers forced, some field-flipping plays, some plays that took points off the board. I give it an F. The Dallas Cowboys had their best running game of the year, and most of it was Dowdle. And if you take away some of the little gimmicky stuff they tried, they were a yard better per carry. Then, and this is really why they got an F, for all the offense's problems, they handed their defense a 17-13 lead with 4 minutes and 56 seconds to go. And with the exception of the goal line plays where they made them work for it, Dallas might as well have gotten into a full marching band gear. Prescott could have pulled up a trombone or a tuba, and they could have gone marching right down the field. That's how easy it was for
them. I didn't know until you guys told me, because I had to jump right on the podcast with Pat Peterson right after the game ended, because I didn't really see a lot of the reaction to it live last night, or this morning, I should say. I didn't know that the issue with Tolbert was sprained testicle.
Yeah.
That the ball bounced into his nuts on third down.
Oh, it spiked right into him.
Yeah. I didn't realize it at first either. And then after the game, one of the Cowboys players said, yeah, he did it with sprained balls or whatever. It was just this ridiculous. Yeah. Here it is. Tyler Smith. Bro, it was miraculous. JT literally sprained his effing nuts. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sprained his nuts the play before. Then comes back, makes the game winner. Unbelievable.
I guess
I'm going to retweet this picture because the picture that this guy put up is just unreal.
I think that's a good trade. If they end up losing, the swollen, bruised balls and no win, but you come back and win the game and you make the game-winning catch, I think most NFL players would make that deal.
The guy, Tyler Smith in the picture, looks like he can't process what he actually saw. He kind of reminds me, when I saw that picture, I don't know if you know the meme, Malzy. Do you remember the fan that has been memed since WrestleMania 30 when The Undertaker lost, like the dude with the crazy look on his face?
Yes.
That's kind of what I thought of.
Donnie, what grade do you give the Steelers defense?
I'll be a little bit more generous. I will go D+. I mean, the turnovers were more like gifts than anything. Now, okay, they forced the one.
The fumble was a good one. The meeting at the quarterback was a good play.
Yeah, Herbig and Watt making a big play early. And the blocked field goal was big. I guess you could count that. I mean, Loudermilk got the paw up there. But otherwise, that the interception from Dante Jackson, I mean, right place, right time. I don't know what the hell Dak was looking at.
Yeah.
And then he just airmailed, I think it was Tolbert, the deep pass where Porter was able to play a little bit of center field there and pick it off. So nice plays. Like, they didn't drop those passes or anything, but they were not as forced when you think of what a turnover is going to look like. And I think, like Chris put it pretty clearly, like they did in the end have a chance to put their stamp on that game. The league's highest paid defense with a lead late in the game.
Don't you think Tomlin would rather be protecting a four-point lead than trying to surmount a four-point deficit at the end
of
the game?
He'd rather have his defense on the field at the end of the game than the offense.
I thought, too, it was pretty telling. Like, the Cowboys were kind of just methodically going about it. Like, they had the thought in their mind, we're going to score.
Oh, there was zero panic whatsoever. None.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting tackled in bounds. They were just, talk about lollygagging. They're just trotting to the line of scrimmage. Like, in no way, shape, or form were they flying, rushing around between plays. They had a confidence they were going to score.
I gave the Steelers defense a D+, same as Donnie. The reason why it's a D+ for the defense and a C for the offense is I think the defense should be a Ferrari, and I think the offense is a Ford Focus. So if the offense gets me to the end of the game with 17 points and they did their job in the fourth quarter, I'm going to grade them much more
leniently
than I will a defense that is supposed to be number
126
one.
Million bucks. Can we do coaching, please?
Coaching, Malzy.
F minus.
Wait, whose turn is it?
I'm going first. F minus. F minus. I think Mike Tomlin's hands were all over the Shamklin 3rd-and-8 run, which is just one of the most cowardly play calls, one of the most live-in-your-fears play calls I can possibly imagine, that early in a game especially. His team also gave up points right off the jump. They should have given up a lot more. Through no real grace of his own did they get all those turnovers, Donnie. You said it. Two of the three turnovers were Dak making horrible plays. His guys can't get lined up. His $18 million safety after the game, I don't know if you saw Fittipaldo write this, said we need a simpler defense, essentially. Let our guys play fast.
They should be able to have a very complicated defense because these guys, for the most part, have been here for a long time and they're mostly football savants.
Well, clearly, they need to simplify it.
Minka. You know who I think that's an indictment of?
Beanie Bishop.
Well, not only him. I was going to say Queen.
That
Queen's
too.
The guy that's getting them set and getting them in the places they should be.
Deshaun Elliott, though, says they ran the ball at us on the last drive because they kind of suspected we might be bracing for the pass. That's getting out, coach. Well,
Tomlin said that after the
game. Tomlin's timeout usage, again, terrible. And just globally, I'm not going to get mad again like I did at the start of the show, but I am so sick and tired with this fake nobility about winning close, tough games that otherwise, if you just gave your players an inch of leeway to try to win the games instead of not lose them, might not turn out this way. F minus, this sucked.
Donnie, I'm going F, you went F too?
I'm going to go F, yeah. I mean, the one thing that Chris didn't mention that really did irk me, it has to do with the pick and stuff where after the game, he's trying to outsmart everybody.
We're
putting him on a load management system. He compares him to Cam Hayward, who is a 35-year-old defensive tackle.
I'd be so
tackle.
Pissed if I were Hayward at that point. Don't compare me to this guy at all.
Like, okay, so a guy that plays receiver, I don't think it takes a football wizard to tell you what the more physically demanding position is throughout a 60-minute football game. There's a reason why defensive linemen switch in and out, because those guys are getting blasted with other 300-pound men every single play. A receiver, that's not happening.
By the way, Cabali added this on the Pickens thing.
Terrible body language. Throwing helmets. And I'm not going to say specific names here, But he, this one time, and I was just shocked. He went over, was not happy that he was probably not playing, sat on the bench next to a player. The player immediately got up, walked two benches to the right, and sat next to the punter. I was like, whoa.
Sat next to the punter. He might have stumbled there. That's what happened. Radioactive right now, George Pickens. Quarterback, Donnie, which grade do you give Justin Fields?
I'll go C minus here. Maybe a little bit harsh, but I mean, that first half was ugly. That first half was...
It was bad.
Probably the worst half he's played. And I think he is on a very, very short leash, if any. I mean, We could very well find out tomorrow at noon that he is no longer starting.
I think he lost his job, Donnie.
I went C plus because he didn't turn the ball over.
Third bowl of porridge for
and
me.
And I think that Tomlin's obsessed with that.
Don't know how he got back on that football.
Well, he also threw a ball early to Jefferson that was way underthrown, yes. Although I heard some people say it was Jefferson's fault. I don't know how. That should have been picked by Malik Hooker.
I'm looking at this picture.
He threw
now.
A ball towards the end of the game that should have been picked off. He had a couple turnover-worthy plays. I gave him a C, though, because, again, I'm still grading him a little bit on a curve. They scored 14 points in the second half. That pace is, if he just does it for the full game of 28,